Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on its shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is more joy in heaven in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. I must say that I always come to Scripture with a lot of questions. And so this passage has always perplexed me. I think, well, you had 100 sheep and one has just gone away. You still have 99 sheep. And so for me, I would be one of those people that probably would not go and find the one, risking all the dangers out in the wilderness to do so. So I wondered why the shepherd would leave the 99 sheep behind just for one. Wouldn't this put the 99 at risk? Aren't 99 sheep enough? What's the point of the shepherd putting their own life at risk to save just one? What was I missing here? And so then I probably spent a little too much time studying the nature of sheep, and I came across this very lovely read. I highly recommend it. It's called An Introduction to Sheep Behavior. And I learned that there is one main reason that sheep stay together, and that's protection. He says that it's not that sheep particularly like each other, which was a surprise to me, but together they stand a better chance of staying safe than if they were apart. And this isn't only a sheep thing, right? It's an all creation sort of thing, or I guess most of creation. Predator, prey, and plant alike. We have flocks of sheep, packs of wolves, groves of redwoods, colonies of bats, troops of baboons, that's one I learned. We have schools of fish. I can go on and on. And we too gather together. We have our families, we have our friends, we have our congregations. We join creation in gathering all together for our own protection, because we know that we stand a better chance in this life if we are together than if we were apart. But this still doesn't make this passage make any more sense. Yes, the 99 are gathered together because that is what the flock of sheep does, but if this is the nature of sheep, why is just one outside? How did it get away? How did it become lost? The only thing I could find in Cobb's article for why a sheep would run away is if they perceived any danger. Sheep are very lazy, according to him, and so they prefer not to move very quickly, or at all, unless there is a threat. When there is, one sheep will begin to move and the entire flock will follow it. They will flee from danger, but they do so together. So if our sheep from today was perceiving danger, wouldn't she still be in her flock? Wouldn't she not be lost? Maybe the threat was coming from inside the flock. Maybe the flock had pushed her out. This year, particularly in February, as the United Methodist Church deliberated on allowing pastors to preside over same-gender marriages and whether there would be full inclusion of LGBTQ+ leaders in their denomination, I found that a couple sheep comments kept on popping up on Facebook. And this comment kept on resurfacing much during Pride Month and still kind of pops up every so often today. It's a comic by Naked Pastor, and it shows Jesus coming back to a flock, an enclosed flock of sheep, carrying on his shoulders a sheep that is the color of the trans flag, the one that's right outside, so that's that blue and pink colors. So he has this colored sheep on his shoulders. But the flock is holding their hands or hoofs out to stop him, and they're saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, hold it right there. He was not lost. We kicked him out." To which Jesus replied, "I know, and I found her." They kicked him out, and he found her. And so I couldn't help but think of that comic when I read this scripture for this week. Because today we hear this similar story. We hear of Jesus teaching to the sinners and the tax collectors. They're pushing in to come near to him. And in response to this, the religious leaders of the time were grumbling. This didn't make them happy because Jesus continued to be in community with those that society had told him not to be in community with. The religious leaders, I think, wanted exclusive access to him. They wanted him to follow the respectability politics of the time, and for him to join them in building a fence that would keep those people out. And our Jesus here is refusing to do so. In fact, Jesus in this parable that is the response to that grumbling says that he would do the exact opposite of what they wanted. He is going out and searching for those people that are excluded. Because this is what Jesus does. Jesus risks everything, his reputation and his very life, to meet those whom society has cast out. Jesus does this because since we are all made in God's image, God grieves deeply, like a part of God's own self is missing. God grieves so deeply when we are lost or isolated from community. But this text is about more than God's love for the lost. I believe it is a call to the religious leaders of the time to repent. I mean, think about it. This parable is all in response to their grumbling, but I really, truly think that what he's saying is follow me and be like me. Another one of those comics that I saw during this time has a picture of the traditional white sheep that are fenced in, and one sheep outside the flock is standing there with the colors of a rainbow flag. And the title of the comic is called We're Working on It. One sheep keeps poking its head out from the enclosed gate saying, be patient, we're working on it. Time passes, and in the last frame, the rainbow sheep outside is no longer there. There's just a pile of bones. As I was reading this text for this week, quite frankly, this haunting comment too popped up. Because the religious leaders are wanting to keep the people that Jesus most wants, they want to keep them at an arm's length. And friends, Jesus is telling us that we can't do that. We must repent for the ways we have done that. Because, I'm sorry, thirsty. Because this is a life or death situation. The one thing that I wish had been different about that comic is that I wish it had had Jesus with that sheep on the outside saying, I'll stay with you. Because that is what this story is trying to tell the religious leaders, is if we do things on our own time, if we uphold these human ideologies that exclude, we are not only harming those that are cast out, we are harming Christ, who intimately identifies himself with the outcasts. We are harming Christ, and in doing so, if we are Christians, aren't we harming ourselves? By keeping people at an arm's length and excluding them from community, this is the definition of sin. It is that which binds us and keeps us from loving the other that is God in our midst. But the good news here is that God, from our baptism, calls us to be co-creators with God. We are called to bring out this reign of love and justice that Jesus is bringing into the world. We are called to join that mission, to go and save that lost sheep from outside. We are called to, as the 99 sheep, repent for the ways that we have harmed others and then go and invite them back. We are called to be co-creators with God for this just world, to look at sin, to call it out for what it is. And the other good news is that we are not only called to this blessing to serve with Christ, but we are prepared because we are given the tools that we need. We are given the Spirit that works within us. We are given the gift of water to remind us of whose we are. We are given the word. And most of all, we are invited to this table, my friends. At the end of every story, there is celebration at the end. One commentator called this a promiscuous meal. And that's what the table is. It's a place for us to come and be strengthened for the work that God calls us to do, but also it is a place where people who would never have anything else to do with each other join together. It is a place where God comes to us. It is a place where we are nourished and we can join the celebration of God's amazing grace. Amen.